This is 88.5 NEPM. Massachusetts census looms. Numbers could expose a state on the brink. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We've got Ella Adams from the Statehouse News Service on the line. Thanks for being here, Ella.
Thanks so much for having me, Carrie.
At the end of the week, an informational hearing focused on the 2030 census will be hosted by the Senate Committee on the Census. Researchers at the UMass Donahue Institute say the census has far-reaching effects beyond political representation. Senator Paul Mark, whose district spans all four counties of Western Mass, is on that committee. He has voiced concerns about potential undercounts in Western Mass, stressing the need for proper counting to ensure fair funding and resources. So, Ella, what are some of the governmental uses of the 2030 census?
Yeah, so census data is used all the time for things like public health, for municipal planning, for state planning, transportation planning, those kinds of things. Obviously, census counts are the underpinning of federal funding formulas, and it also accounts for apportionment of congressional seats among the states. In 2010, Massachusetts lost a seat as a result of the 2010 census. And I know that last time around the 2020 census, Senator Mark had said that Western Massachusetts had done better than anticipated with regard to responding to the census. But recently, the Secretary of State, I know, went to Berkshire County specifically and was talking a bit at the county level about how population has been lost. It's been slowing in recent census data, and he really wants to make sure that those counts are on point and as high as they can possibly be.
Moving on, Massachusetts Health Safety Net Fund faces a massive $300 million shortfall, and state leaders are scrambling to find both short and long-term solutions as hospitals struggle financially and thousands risk losing Medicaid coverage in the coming weeks. What's the legislature doing about this?
Yeah, so the House and the Senate have actually both passed now their fiscal 2025 closeout budgets.
So with the slight variations between the House and the Senate versions, there has to be one final agreement made between the branches before it gets sent off to the governor.
Yes. When that final budget is sent to the governor, a piece of it would increase the annual hospital assessment in Massachusetts by $50 million as a way to help support the health safety net program.
So in addition to funding the Massachusetts Health Safety Net Fund, in passing that $2.3 billion closeout budget, which restored over $70 million via veto overrides, what other programs did lawmakers fight to fund?
So the combined veto overrides, they returned previously agreed upon funding levels to the trial courts, to mass health, nursing homes, supplemental rates, early intervention services for younger children with developmental delays, career tech institutions, charter school reimbursements, and there were some other ones.
And finally, briefly, Ella, last week, House Speaker Ron Mariano said that he thinks the relationship between the House and Senate is fine and acknowledged that he, quote, can't pass bills by myself and must find common ground with the Senate to make any law. Now, the speaker does not like taking up sweeping pieces of legislation. Those are often called mega bills. So in terms of the speed of legislating, is this sort of bite-sized bill process working for the House?
I think just to jog our memory, the House and Senate reached their first joint rules agreement since 2019 this year. So that overhauled how joint committees operate. Are bills moving out of committee and being pulled more? Some could say yes. Does Mariano think at least that this is more efficient or working better than before? Yes. But I think it's important to note that the House and Senate have teamed up this session mostly just to pass spending bills, or what we call supplemental budgets, to the governor's desk. Each chamber has worked through its own agenda or priorities, and it's often been that the other branch doesn't really express much interest still or sense of urgency in the other's bills. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. You know, as much as the Speaker of the House says that relations are fine, no one really knows what happens behind closed doors. So that is something also to keep in mind.
Ella Adams is a reporter at the Statehouse News Service in Boston. Ella, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the Statehouse. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from NEPM at our website. That's nepm.org/podcast. This is 88.5. NEPM.